From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made with a study. In 2021, Harvard researchers measured loneliness in America. Their study, Loneliness in America, How the Pandemic Has Deepened an Epidemic of Loneliness and What We Can Do About It, found that 43% of young adults reported increases in loneliness since the outbreak of the pandemic. It's a number quoted by City Magazine editor Leah Stacey in her editor's letter for this month's edition of the magazine, the first ever wellness issue. Now, when you think of wellness, maybe you think of yoga or certain dietary guidelines, but this issue is more about connection, the different ways people in this region can find ways to be with each other and boost their personal wellness in different ways. Physical, spiritual, financial, cultural wellness. This month's issue of City goes beyond the stereotypes to explore all things wellness, and it's particularly relevant now. In recent months, U.S. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has been raising awareness about loneliness. According to CNBC, in his 2023 report, Our Epidemic of Loneliness and Isolation, Murthy wrote that loneliness is associated with a greater risk of cardiovascular disease, dementia, stroke, depression, anxiety, and even premature death. So what helps you feel connected to others and to the community? Let's talk about it with our guest this hour, Leah Stacey, editor of City Magazine. Always fun to have you back here. Hi.
Thanks for letting me come back.
Letting you come back.
Yeah.
You can have this microphone whenever you like. And the whole team is here. Joe Morrell is sitting next to Leah. Joe is freelance contributor to City Magazine, director of marketing for the Swan Family of Restaurants. Hey, welcome back, Joe.
Thank you, Evan.
Welcome across to Roberto Felipe Ligaris, who is a multimedia reporter for City Magazine. Hey, Berto.
Hey. Just happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. And welcome to Kat Sue, who is the owner of Happy Gut Sanctuary, our High Falls neighbor. We are so glad to have as a High Falls neighbor. Thanks for walking about 80 feet next door here.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. So, Leah Stacey, take us through sort of the impetus before we get into the meat of the issue here. I don't know if there's any meat here. It's a wellness issue.
Oh, there's meat.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably still some meat.
Yeah, I'm a carnivore, so there's meat. So I'm trying to remember when we had this idea. I think it was maybe 6 months ago or so. We were coming up with the themes for the whole year. And we thought, what's something that we want to talk about in winter? You know, last February we did a dynamic duos issue, and that was cute. And actually, Kat, you were in that one. Yeah, that was like right when you opened.
It's an annual celebration.
This is your issue, turns out. So I thought, what about wellness? Because it's the thing like, you know, right about February, it's like, okay, we've been all going to the gym for a month, and it's cold, and it's gray, and all I want to do is stay home and wear sweatpants, and I don't know, sit with my cats, eat popcorn, watch TV, that kind of thing. So I thought, what if we did a little issue to showcase what there is in terms of wellness, but also taking it outside just that term. I think, and I wrote this, that we get really stereotypical with that term. And it's been really buzzy in the last few years especially. And Kat will talk about this. We share sort of a trendy, buzzy hobby. But wellness goes so far beyond just physical, dietary. And so we wanted to sort of turn it on its head and talk about other types of wellness. And also we wanted to bring in some newsier pieces.
What's the stereotype, like the thing that you didn't want to do with this issue? When you think about the stereotype of wellness versus this, what is it?
I think a lot of rules. Like when I think about wellness and like, oh, you're going to like live really well, I think sometimes people get too caught up in the rules of it all, in this like certain lifestyle, like you're definitely not going to drink, you're definitely not going to eat meat. I don't know what I'm saying. These like ultimatums that make you sort of more well. But yeah, so for me, it's like these New Year's resolutions, rules. And I wanted to, I think that wellness can be a lifestyle that is more seamless than perhaps we perceive.
I think that's right. And I think sometimes wellness is a little, I think of it as a commodified, unproven out there-ness.
Yeah, because there's no one size fits all. So we wanted to sort of talk about things that we do all deal with, like, and Veronica's going to be on the second half, and she's going to talk about her no-spend month, which I think is so fun. And just like financial wellness is a thing we all have to think about.
Yep.
Loneliness, something we all think about. The spiritual wellness story actually kind of changed, but it's really interesting. Brian wrote about our oldest public building in Rochester. And at first what I had pitched him is like, what if we wrote about like the health of churches and like the health of religion? And, you know, he pulled some really interesting data even for that story where it's like, no, congregations are getting smaller. And we know this, right? But we also found this really interesting thing where it's like actually a lot of people are just joining via Zoom because it's like this pandemic holdover. So, yeah, we dug in some really cool stuff. And then, I tapped Joe to write about fermented foods because we know that gut health is a real thing for everybody. And so, yeah, we just... It's always an adventure.
No,
every issue.
It's a great range in this. By the way, tomorrow we've got Bishop Kara Wagner Shearer from the Episcopal Diocese
The
show. Tomorrow, yeah. 1 o'clock.
Love that.
Bishops have been getting some national attention, if you've seen the recent service with the president and the vice president. So, you know, there'd be a lot to talk about tomorrow. There's always a lot to talk about here. I really appreciate Brian's piece on the oldest public building in Rochester.
Yeah, it's 200 years old. Well, I guess 201 this year.
Really remarkable.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And that was a tip from a reader. So we didn't, which I also love.
That's great.
I love getting an email. Like, this reader pitched us 3 great stories. And that one, I was like, man, the timing is everything here. So we went after that.
And Gino Finelli's got a piece on the Hungerford building. Maybe you've seen Gino's video work on this on different platforms.
Yeah.
Everywhere I looked when I would see Gino's video reports on this,
yeah,
people would see this and go, I can't believe what
it's
has
heartbreaking.
Happened. Yeah. People are really exercised about this.
Yeah. And I believe he is going to be doing a whole show about that with some of the artists and Patrick, which is why neither of them are here. They're going to do a whole hour on the Hungerford.
That's coming up on the 14th at noon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the end of next week? It's at the end of, it's next Friday. It sounds about right. Yeah.
It's a perfect Valentine's Day show.
Should be on a Friday. I don't believe in Valentine's Day. No, actually I do. Come
okay.
on. Every day is Valentine's Day.
Wellness.
Right.
You know, and before
every day's Valentine's
Day. Before I turn to you, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Shut his mic off.
Yeah, Leah's taking the mic for the rest of the hour. Out of here. Before I turn to your colleagues here, I just want to say, I was off for a few days last week. I was in Orlando. It was like 78, 78, and 80.
The epicenter of wellness.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, oh, yeah. Very, very much a wellness. Now I'm just visiting a friend. His name is Goofy. No, I wasn't actually even visiting Goofy.
Nice.
Just a friend. And so it was like 78, 78, and 80, but it was like the comfortable 80, right? And so it was amazing. And I flew back in on Saturday. My car was under a foot of snow, and it was 9 degrees outside. And do you know what I thought? I thought, there is nowhere I would rather... No, I tried.
I was like,
I
really?
Tried. I'm like, no, I didn't think that. But I will say this. Then I got home and the sun was coming through the trees and there was a lot of snow. And it was a winter wonderland. It was beautiful. It was probably
really
the most beautiful
pretty.
I've ever seen in my street.
Yeah.
And I did think, you know, there's still a lot to recommend winter. But I also think we need a little bit of a pick-me-up, a little bit of a refocus. And I think that's what this issue does. So,
hope so.
Yeah. So let's talk to some of the folks... Who are going to, Birdo's essay, go get them, champ. City goes ringside at rock boxing. I definitely think rock boxing and wellness, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
How did this come about here?
How do any of your photo essays come about?
We should do a photo essay on that.
It's us sitting at the table.
That's like the most meta thing you could do.
Yeah. Like it is, it's pretty scrappy, but I mean, that's kind of the beauty of it because... you're so focused on telling the story or, you know, getting the piece that it's kind of hard to fabricate it in any way in terms of like, oh yeah, I really want to go this direction. Like I can go into it with that mindset all I want, but that's never how it's going to go down.
Actually, I mean, really for me, the way this is actually about wellness is when I go long stretches without doing anything physical, I feel awful. Like when I think wellness, I like the first thing I actually think about is like, am I feeling physically good? And so people are turning to all kinds of interesting stuff. What did you find here, Berto?
So the big piece is how like unconventional this kind of physical wellness is. I think when you think of the new year, you think of new gym memberships, but like a boxing gym is not in that conversation usually. You're not like, oh, I can't wait to sign up for the new boxing gym this year. because that's part of my New Year's resolution. so that was kind of the big focus, was like, okay, so here's a way of getting fit, staying fit. And then there's also that twist of the kettlebell, which is in there as well. And that was like kind of mind blowing to me, because then when I got there, I had this expectation of, who will I see here? I'm going to see a lot of people who want to be like the next Jake Paul. And that's not entirely the case. Like, it was a wide range, very, Coach Dom was polite enough to show me around and introduce me to the young boxers, and like, I'm talking like I think 5-6 years old, all the way up to some folks that he said were not too far from his age, which he would not disclose. But that's it was amazing, like the wide range, and then also their focus on like the mobility aspect, because I think that's another piece that keeps people from going to certain gyms, is, you know, I can't really do any of that stuff, or I'm worried that I'm gonna make a fool of myself. And their focus was like, you can, despite your limitations physically, there's a way of integrating this style into your life, especially with kettlebell and with boxing, and, you know, really diving home or driving home the old school techniques and how fitting they are, and how that has not, a lot of people are returning to it. And he, you know, he mentions how he never left that because it was just, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
This is like the best you can make this sound to me, because the first thing I thought of was the Pauls. And I'm like, oh, well, just what we need to have more influence for.
We got
to
reclaim it.
This is reclaiming it from Jake and Logan Paul.
No, it really, like, yeah. And didn't they talk, like, you're going back, aren't you?
I am. I'm, so I was a little under the weather.
Oh, whatever.
You know, so I was like, okay, I'm going to
You just
back,
didn't
want to
get
worry.
Housed.
But I told him, I was like, I'm coming back. I'm going to do a class. I haven't really decided if it's going to be boxing or kettlebell. Who knows? Maybe I'll just do both. They are usually back-to-back, so I'll just try to power through, I guess. But yeah, I am going back to try the class myself.
Take him with you.
Yeah, why not?
I'm busy that day.
I had a feeling.
Under the weather.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, it was great. And then also, as noted in the piece, it is the first photo essay we've done that is completely black and white, and is shot entirely on black and white film, specifically Cinestill BWXX, because that is actually a Kodak motion picture film, which is what was used to shoot Raging Bull, which was the film by Martin Scorsese. Yeah,
I love that story. Yeah, and I mean the shots are great. The main shot there, that's money right there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That's a favorite.
Well done. Well done, Berto. Please be careful if you go back.
Absolutely. I think another piece, though, they do emphasize, and I don't think this quote really makes it in because I couldn't find a spot for it, but they said you can box and not get punched in the face. That is something that I think everyone should know. Like, you can go there, and it is not a requirement to spar with other people. Like, I mean, you can just throw down on the heavy bag. So I think that's another misconception that people have, is like, oh, you know, I don't want to get punched in the face. You don't have to.
You can just go take your frustrations out.
Just go take your frustrations out.
Spar on the back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great stuff there. We're talking to the crew from City about their monthly edition here. We're talking about wellness in a lot of different ways here. Maybe not what you typically associate with the word wellness, and that's part of the fun here. And Joe Morrell wrote a piece called Keep It Funky. Funky.
Funky.
Define funky.
Well, I wanted to do something that I did this piece with my good friend, Abby Quattro, a very talented photographer, food photographer here in Rochester. And we wanted to do something that was highlighting some local producers who were doing fermented goods. We obviously know the impacts that it can have on your gut health and how it can have beneficial health turnouts, but also why fermenting goods is so delicious, which obviously Kat can speak a lot about how delicious her fermented goods are. But we wanted to do something that was fun. And one of the things that I kind of wanted to introduce to people was some things that were pretty approachable in terms of what they were. So we did a little roundup of some great local producers who were keeping it funky and fun and delicious. And so we got to do a lot of yummy taste testing for this one.
Asian Market Grocery is Clover Meadow Creamery, the Kombucharista, Jen's Artisan Breads. Got a great list there.
Yeah, it was a really fun one. The Small World Food Products, they do like some fermented garlic and a bunch of fermented goods. So we did a highlight on their sauerkraut lineup. They have a curry kraut, which was pretty mind-blowing to eat. And the other major standout was the goat milk yogurt from Clover Meadow Creamery. It was delicious. And I'm somebody who doesn't eat a lot of dairy. And I ate the entire cup of that.
I love goat cheese.
You're going to love this.
Goat milk yogurt?
That's kind of one of the reactions that I wanted to kind of get out of people, is because we have so many things that we like. And to push a little further and introduce people to things that they might never even heard of or never tried. And so the goat milk yogurt, if you're somebody who likes goat cheese, I can almost assure that you're going to love this and be like, wow, I can't believe I've never had this before. Because it has those notes of goat cheese. But in a little bit more of like a thinner yogurt quality, it's a really fun product.
I love the idea of that in a wellness section, because speaking of wellness, every time lately I've been like, I make like a big salad at home and I'm like, you know what this needs? Some Chev. It's too good for you. It's too good. It's too much wellness. But you know. It's delicious.
It's delicious.
And as a yogurt, you made me want to try it.
And I hope you do, because it is a delicious setup of a really good, fun thing that I have never had before. And once I tried it, I was like, this is something that I would love to gift to somebody, or hopefully encourage other people around here to try.
This is not something that I should say, considering we're on YouTube and we're broadcasting everywhere. But like, what are we drinking in here? I should know what we're drinking. What are we drinking?
Kombucha.
We're drinking kombucha.
Locally made kombucha.
Locally made?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to tell us a little bit more about this, Kat?
Sure. So kombucha traditionally is fermented tea. Kombucha is black tea fermented with cane sugar. June, which is what we were written about in this month's issue, is traditionally green tea with raw honey. So nowadays, you kind of use whatever tea you want as long as the flavor is good. So we've done herbal teas, we've done green teas, black teas, white teas. We just like to play with flavor a lot. But it's going to be a little bit fizzy, a little bit sweet, a little bit sour.
Where is this made?
So our production facility is in Charlotte now.
Okay.
So we just moved a little over a year ago, about a year ago.
Yeah. We say Charlotte without the R. For those of us.
you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, now that I live in Shalott, it's not Shalott. Quite how we say it. It's not quite how we say it.
I tried.
I feel like he set you up for that.
I did.
At least I didn't say Charlotte.
No.
I've been here long enough to know that.
Worse. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Kat, I hear about a lot of fermented products, like when people try to do them at home and something blows up.
That's happened to us before.
Has it really?
Uh-huh. My very first batch of kimchi, actually. That was an explosion. It
that was
hit
probably
the
a
ceiling,
mess.
And then my dog tried to come in and get in on that because she eats everything. Yeah. And the explosion happened right at eye level. So, yeah. And then there was milk being poured into eyeballs.
That could have been really bad, right?
I learned my lesson. Yeah. So, no explosion since then, so, you know.
Just got to regulate what you're doing there a little bit better.
It was literally the very first time me figuring out. So we went, the conception of our kombucha was actually going through a phase of testing out all these fermented foods. And the origin of that is, my partner was diagnosed with IBS. And I was just looking for other ways of easing his gut issues without having to rely on medicine, which, you know, also has side effects, and it really wasn't sitting well with him. So I was like, maybe we'll look at our diet and see how we can at least make it a little bit more comfortable.
How much has that helped?
A lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we turned into a business. That was never the plan.
Literally called Happy Gut.
Yeah. That was never the plan. I was just like, let me make stuff and see what sticks, anything that helps. So I did kombucha, I did kefir, I think is how it's pronounced, with milk and with water. I've done sourdough, I've done kimchi, and Rob, my partner, being half Korean, like I was able to taste his mom's kimchi and kind of, you know, tweak it to my liking. But yeah, it's been a journey.
So if you look at Joe's piece here, again, great photography. City always has great photography,
absolutely,
great visuals. But Joe and Leah, when you're trying to figure out the range where you want to go and keep it funky, how do you get the full roster? I mean, Leah knows everything about food in this town. I get that, but
I don't think so. That's what I rely on people like Joe and Abby to help with, though. And then Elise, who wrote about the June tea, I rely on people who have different tastes, because like I would never buy goat milk yogurt. I don't like goat cheese. I'm guessing there's a lot of protein in that. It's still not going to do it for me. But I think the strength of the team lies in like us having different interests and going different places and trying different things. But I honestly trusted Joe and Abby to curate that. I trusted Elise to curate her drinks piece, which is on the next spread after. And I was really happy with what everybody turned in.
Elise's list, by the way, listeners or viewers on YouTube, if you want to make a list here, you're going to pick up City and do that. That's fun. Mm-hmm. A little city crawl would be like a cool thing to do here. But Elise will take you to Alt Bar, Strange Bird Brewery, Happy Gut Sanctuary, Pearson's Market, Staple Vintage, Hydra Coffee House has a, is it turmeric or turmeric? Can we settle this? How do we say it? How do you say it?
I think it's turmeric.
Turmeric.
Depends on the
mood.
I
say turmeric, but now that I know how it's spelled, I've been trying to say
this is
turmeric.
A Rochester thing, isn't it?
No,
I think it's
just
like, turmeric, is it not?
See?
I've always said turmeric.
Have you said, you say turmeric?
Oh, no, I'm going to second guess that every time.
I'm going to say
it's spelled
turmeric,
right?
It's spelled
turmeric. I'm like Cap.
As soon as I figured out how it's spelled, I'm like, oh, have we been pronouncing this wrong?
Yeah, so that's I've, what I
Wait, how come
now
this
I don't know.
Silent?
Right. That's my question.
All right, this is the most important research question we're going to ask the production team. They're going to tell me, how do you pronounce turmeric, turmeric? I think it's turmeric. That's it. That's it. That's the show today. We figured it out. That's all. No, it's, what, is it with the R? Producer Megan Mack says it's with the R.
Okay.
Rob says it's subtle. It's turmeric.
Turmeric.
You're supposed to mumble it.
Mumble it.
Yeah, it's like Rochesterians say Rochester in like a syllable and a half.
Yeah,
we don't say like Rochester.
Rochester.
Say like Rochester. Yeah.
Or lilac.
Oh, it's still lilac
to
me.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of which takes me to the fact that there's a turmeric latte from Hydra Coffee House. That looks really fun. That's really cool. So Elise takes us through all that. And then the dragon's nectar is the fermented tea. They could have chosen a number of products, but what is dragon's nectar?
So we like to name all of our flavors after an origin story or mythology, depending on where the tea is from. Dragon's nectar is named after the Chinese jasmine tea that we use in this ferment. And it's made with local raw honey from Grand Family Farm. And this one actually won an award in 2022 at the International KBI competition in the June category, so honey ferments. But it's really, basically, if you've ever had a mead, it's like that, but with like a very subtle tea flavor to it. So it's going to be a little bit sweeter compared to kombucha, but it's so nice to drink. It's also called the champagne of kombucha. It's like lighter, bubbly. Yeah.
It's delicious. I've had it.
So sweeter than kombucha, but this here in the table, in the studio is?
So, yeah, three on the table are kombucha.
That's kombucha,
but
okay.
But the thing we do a little bit differently, too, is all of our flavors have a different range of sweetness and sour. So I don't like to ferment any of our stuff to vinegar. I don't think it's palatable, especially if you're trying to drink it alone. Like, I don't think drinking vinegar is actually that great for your gut. It's like a shock to your system.
I like to find the balance
of just like a little bit of sweetness. You get the sour. You know, we test the pH of all of our ferments, so we know, you know, it is acidic. Sometimes it's not palatable because it's so balanced. But yeah, I want people to like it and keep drinking it, you know, versus having a sip like, this is not for me.
I'm really enjoying what you brought here.
So I brought the crowd favorite flavors. I mean, we do some funky stuff. We fermented coffee before, too. We do a lapsang souchong that's super smoky, almost savory.
What happens when you ferment coffee?
It It's hard to describe. I always tell people, if you're not a coffee drinker, don't think of this as a coffee drink. Like, just taste it and taste the flavors and just consider that as a complete separate beverage. So it's a little sweet. It has a bit of a brightness to it. We haven't made it since we moved, but we have people asking for it all the time. It's really fun. We put it on nitro, so it's like the texture is nice and smooth. It's not effervescent like kombucha. It's a fun drink in the summertime.
Before we break here, because we've been talking about beverages and where they're coming from and putting, to Joe's phrase, funky twists on them, I just want to ask all of you briefly, is it time for a tea intervention with me? Because, so I feel like, so lately...
That's not what I expected.
Let me explain. So lately, I've been rewatching the first season of Ted Lasso because my son is old enough-ish to watch. I mean, like, there are certain things we just zip through, but he's really enjoying it. And I had forgotten how much Ted hates tea. And like, one of the funny twists about the Ted Lasso character is he's actually more cultured than you realize. He's quoting philosophers and all kinds of literature with beard and all kinds of cool stuff. But he hates tea in England. And he doesn't hesitate to let anybody know. He's like, this is just terrible water. It's just bad. And I've basically felt that way my whole life about tea. Now, recently, I went to a really cool tea place in Rochester in the South Wedge.
Happy Earth.
Uh-huh.
I just went there for the first time.
And what did you think, Birdo?
I loved it.
It was great.
It's amazing.
The flights and
really
the information.
Cool.
And yeah, I will be going back.
I will too. I'm trying to turn myself. But people think like, oh, this guy wrote a book about wine. He's cultured. Then I'm like, well, I hate tea, so I'm not that cultured. So is there hope for me?
Yes.
Always.
Yeah. Especially if you go to Happy Earth Tea.
Happy Earth really
is.
Yeah. If you go to Happy Earth like four or five times and you let them take you through and you can't walk out of there liking it, then it is just not going to be for you, which is probably fine. But
I mean, I think you should approach it the way maybe like a lot of people approach drinking coffee. So I started drinking coffee. I drink basically just black coffee now. I love a good black coffee. But I started drinking Dunkin' Donuts and then Fraps at Starbucks when I was, you know, high school. And then I got introduced to really good coffee when I was in Montreal. And then it was just kind of like slowly scaling back the milk and the sugar and the flavors. And then finding roasters that roast really good coffee. And then you kind of
don't
can't go
over
back.
Roast it. Preserve a little of the flavor. Yeah.
You don't want that bitterness in your coffee.
No.
And then tea too. You can over steep tea and then it's just bitter and gritty and it's not enjoyable.
Okay.
But I know Happy Earth doesn't do that.
That's good advice. Birdo, you enjoyed the trip to the same place I went to. So, yes, yeah. Tea?
Yes, tea. I mean, and I was kind of in that boat, too. Like, I didn't really love tea. I'm like, if I'm going to drink it, I might as well just go get a coffee. I'm a coffee guy. Still. But there's something to be said about it. A nice cup of tea. I don't know. I think there's that placebo effect of, like, when you're having coffee, you're like, oh, I'm getting wired up, like, ready to work. Where like tea is like, even if it is caffeinated for me, I'm just like,
it's chill.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood. Yeah,
okay. I think Patrick only drinks tea.
Yes,
right.
He's avid tea drinker.
Yeah, he's not a coffee drinker.
But he does that to try to like have it like to. That's an affect. That's not a real thing.
No, I think he really likes it. I don't know. You might have to talk about tea with him.
Okay. I've got real problems with Patrick, but let's see here.
What happened?
Tea? Yes.
I'm also a coffee drinker who's starting to learn to really like tea. I think it's something that I never drank because I was just more like, oh, I'll have a cup of coffee. I'll have a black coffee and go with my day. But like you, I discovered really good tea, which I'm a firm believer that really good products exist. So adventure through food and drink. But once you find it, it can really put you onto something.
What's the name of the place I went to in the South Wedge?
Was it Happy Earth?
Happy Earth. Right?
Happy Earth.
Yeah. A lot of happy. There's Happy Gut, Happy
we get
Earth.
Confused.
Somebody's going to tell the Happy Earth folks we talked about them all day on Connections here.
Actually, a lot of our teas are sourced with Happy Earth.
That's cool.
Yeah, oh, Niraj is great.
Yeah, I met Niraj. I was very impressed.
He's the sweetest.
Really cool. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me grab a phone call before we swap out the half hours here because there's a lot
say
to
turmeric.
Cover.
Yep.
Joel's going to correct the pronunciation. Hey, Joel, go ahead.
It's definitely turmeric.
Nice.
I love that was the call.
Thank you there.
And And I want to add a little bit here. The other one that's kind of a pet peeve that you hear a lot in Rochester is sriracha, and that's with its S-R-I, but people pronounce it as if it's S-I-R, and that needs to be straightened out as soon as possible.
Sriracha, sriracha.
It's a sriracha. Sri. Yep. And so that's how you pronounce that word, but nobody gets it, and you don't hear it pronounced properly in any restaurant unless it's maybe an Indian restaurant. But it's definitely sriracha.
Sriracha, which might include some turmeric.
Maybe. Might. You never know.
Hopefully not.
It's good for your body.
I love it. Oh, Joel.
I wanted to also make a suggestion while I'm on the line.
Yeah.
Last issue, which was great, which was, I think, the best of, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
There were, at the back of the issue, there were some really funny comments that people had submitted. And somebody had said, the gallery across from Seabreeze. And the response from City, which was awesome, was, hey, that's Lake Ontario. But there actually is a gallery up there, and it's called the Artist's Cave. And it might be good for City now that you realize that there actually is a gallery up there. It's really rather unique gallery to do a story on it. So just a little pitch of sorts.
Cool.
The last thing I want to mention while I'm on the phone with you guys is there's no Mount Hope Boulevard in Rochester that I'm aware of. So in Gino's story, there's a reference to a Mount Hope Boulevard, and there is no such thing. So hopefully nobody's going to go looking for that location. And also in Gino's story, there's one business that has two different names in the story. So I'm trying to figure out which.
Joel, you are the most detailed city reader.
Yeah, Joel, if you need a proofreading job, hit us up.
I'll do it if I can do it remotely.
Thank you, Joel. You've got very detailed and rabid fans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I know this.
I do know that.
Yeah, because you hear from them all the time.
Log into my email sometime. Yeah.
Artist Cave. Thank you, Joel. Cool reference. Sriracha. Don't say sriracha.
Mm. I pronounce it Frank's Red Hot.
Frank's Red Hot, yeah. That's how I do it.
Mm-hmm. Were you going to say something like that?
I don't know where that word originates from. Like, I would look into that, and I think that would dictate how you pronounce it. But I actually don't.
Not my expertise.
I'm also sitting here thinking, like, of Lynn Phillips' blog.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
And how we all just sort of, like, I immediately, like,
Sriracha
still
says, yeah.
connect yeah. that to her, even though she doesn't live here anymore. So now I'm like, I need to Google this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But turmeric, we're pretty sure.
Turmeric.
Short break. We're coming right back with the team from City. The wellness issue. We're having fun taking a look at the current edition of City, which you'll find wherever City is sold for free. Right back with them next. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on The Next Connections. In our first hour, the Susan B. Anthony Museum and House is celebrating a birthday, and we catch up with the executive director. And then in our second hour, a conversation with the new Bishop of the Episcopal Diocese of Rochester. You might have seen national headlines about a bishop making headlines with the president recently, and we'll talk about that and more Tuesday. This studio is packed, and if you're watching on the WXXI News YouTube page, hello there. We are really having fun with the team from City, and Veronica Volk has popped in to steal Joe's space. We decided we had enough Joe Morrell.
we never get enough of Joe.
We need to get some Veronica Volk here. Hi, Veronica Volk.
Hi, Evan Dawson. This is my first time on the show since you've been on YouTube.
No
way. So this is very exciting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a big deal for you.
I'm pretty excited. Having worked in radio for a very long time.
You know what people are going to say to you?
What's that?
You don't look high. You're taller than I thought. We're all sitting at a desk.
It's a great.
I love when people say that. Like, you look taller. I see you on YouTube. I'm like...
Thank you.
Sitting at a desk here. This is a Veronica is the has always been the resident young on the staff.
Oh my God, not for a long time. for a long time.
I mean, you're connected to the trends and what's happening on the socials. And a No Money Month is the piece that Veronica wrote. that was based on the No Spend Challenge, which is what? Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, let's bring it down from all the fun that we've been having and talk about economic insecurity.
We've had enough fun for the hour. It's over.
No, I'm thinking about your first hour and some of the issues that you were talking about in your first hour. But I think that a lot of people are feeling nervous about their finances. And this might just speak to like where I'm at in my life, but also kind of where we are broadly in our country. So like for New Year's,
where are we?
I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
But anyway, so can't solve that today.
No.
So I was feeling like I was experiencing a lot of folks talking about their financial insecurity that they're having in their own lives. And it was actually a couple of days after New Year's when I met up with actually my sister-in-law at Strong Museum. And she was like, I'm doing this no spend challenge where I'm just trying to not spend any money for 30 days. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. That sounds like something I can do. You can kind of try to see what you care about in terms from like a budgetary perspective and try to make a new budget and try to save money. But sometimes it's just easier to like go cold turkey with stuff. So this is what this challenge does is you like take every single day and you try to get to zero spending. Now you got to pay your bills, obviously. Got to pay your rent, got to pay your electric bill, got to pay off your credit cards. But everything else you try not to spend money. I mean, like it's really simple. It sounds really simple anyway, but it can be a little bit of a challenge. But one of the interesting things that I found is that, well, first of all, it can be hard because a lot of the ways that you get connected to your community are by going out and spending money, either to like support local artists, local restaurants, or even just to, like spend time with people. You often will do it in a common space, like a restaurant, a coffee shop, or something where spending money is required. So that can be a little bit of a challenge. But it was also interesting to see the way that, like, no spend feels, like, trendy and new. But it's how, like, a lot of my generation's parents kind of just lived their lives. They weren't out spending money on things. Like, they always talk about the millennials' proverbial, like, avocado toast. They weren't spending money on things like that. So one of the... it was just like a very interesting thing to come upon where I would be like talking to my parents about, I'm trying not to spend any money this month. And they're like, oh, you mean all of 1985 or whatever? It was just like, so that was really cool. I learned some interesting budgeting techniques that I use in my own life. But for the most part, it was cool to see the ways that people were trying to make this work.
I thought it was interesting that you interviewed a woman named Cassie.
Who said, she is the wife of actually Will of Cleveland, but I just wanted to give her a shout out. Thanks so much, Cassie, for talking to me if you're listening. But yeah, she is one of the people who I connected with who is doing this.
And I thought her comments were really insightful because this has totally changed our behavior. And so a lot of what we end up doing is whatever apps you use the most will determine whether you're spending money or not or spending a lot of money or not. And Cassie told you, she just deleted certain apps and was like, because she was spending money, you know, shopping apps, different apps.
Well, what I mean, it can be a kind of a way to kill time to scroll through shopping apps like Amazon or like Target and add stuff to your cart. And I'm at a point in my life right now where I got two little kids at home. So I am constantly shopping for them. You know, they need new clothes. They need new sippy cups. They need new this. They need new that. And it really it makes... like consumerism feel like a game that you're playing. You're adding things, you're taking things off, you're ordering. There was a recent documentary that came out, I think Buy Now is what it's called, but it's all about how they have gamified buying things online. The colors they use, the fonts they use, it's all geared to get you to get on the app, stay on the app, and spend as much money as possible. And so to have an opportunity to really objectively look at the way that you live your life and see these habits and try to like cut them out was interesting for me. And I think for the people in the piece as well.
I want to see Buy Now.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm not surprised to hear that they've gamified it.
It's surprisingly like psychological. Well, maybe not surprising, but it is very psychological the way that they go about it.
Well, when my son was like 6, 7, he was into Pokemon Go. And what you realize is like, this is like one of the biggest, it's probably still a thing, right? Pokemon Go is still a thing?
Yeah,
I think so.
It is. Okay. I'm not a user not that I care if you are, but I have a few friends who are still into it. Yeah,
it's still a thing.
Still large.
Still very, very big.
Yep.
And but what you quickly realize, whether you're playing for yourself, playing with your kid, is that there you get credit for streaks. You get credit, like, and then they'll actually give you different credit that you can use in the game. And then you can use some of the credit to get different stuff, but then you have to purchase. So they gamify that in a way that makes you want to go back every day, and you end up spending money. You're like, how did I spend money on like a Pokemon Go game?
But so one of the things, that No Spend does that is interesting is it takes that and flips it on its head. So I saw a lot of people on social media who were sort of showing off their own streaks, how many days they had gone spending $0. It's interesting to see that content elevated, because a lot of the stuff that you see on like TikTok or Instagram is like people selling stuff, sponsored content, here's my haul from Target or like whatever. And this was like completely counter to that. And I really thought it was super interesting and sort of emblematic of like the time that we're in. Social media influencers aren't like, well, they are buying a lot of stuff, but a whole other universe of this is people are not spending money. They're making things from scratch. They're sewing their own clothes. And it's fascinating to see like how influencers are trying to get people, or at least showing off the ways in which they're not spending money and being thrifty and being more sustainable. So that was pretty cool.
You mentioned millennials and avocado toast.
Yes.
What is the Gen Z version of avocado toast that people just hammer them for mercilessly, for like unfairly? Because like millennials were told for years, like, well, if you didn't have avocado toast, you'd have a house by now. Like it was always like.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Is it still, it might still be avocado toast.
I think they can't afford avocado toast anymore at all. So it's like, it's usually like, I have a lot of younger sisters and. They're just like,
is it things Sephora?
Are just things are just expensive.
Oh, that's a big one, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really understand that trend very well, but like I'm aware that it exists. So Sephora is a thing, and probably Starbucks and things like that. Which, if you're going to Starbucks, you should probably just go to like Happy Gut, right? Like or something. I mean, Cat's here. I wouldn't.
Yes.
But so you know, you can find better options than that. But the bottom line is. We hammered millennials for years over avocado toast. I was just wondering.
Well, I mean, and yeah, and like frivolous spending, right? Like you could make stuff at home and save more money. And it's, I think if I had had, if I'd thought about going into this a little bit deeper, I would have, but that wasn't really the point of this piece. But it's interesting to think about how all of this messaging is packaged towards people, depending on like what your age group is, whether, you know, what your gender is. And, you know, millennials get hammered for frivolous spending, but there's like an argument to be made where it's just like, okay, well, like if $20 is going to break me, then like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
like
sure,
as a society, why do I have to spend no money in order to either save money or pay down my debts or feel like I'm in a better financial position for my children? Like there's a bigger, broader economic conversation to be had that we're not going to get into because this is just about like personal financial wellness. But it's something to keep in mind as like you're being sold, whether that.
Yeah, like you got a $7 coffee and now you can't afford a house. Like,
right.
Now, wait a second. Like, I don't think one
That's
equals the other.
That's not what society is supposed to be for, I didn't think. But
and by the way, we also hammer people for like things that cost more at third place locations, but third places are really important. I mean, like we are a less connected society. It's part of what Leah was writing about in your editor's note. Like we are experiencing all this loneliness. And so, like if you're going to spend a little more, if you're going to pay a premium for a coffee or for food or kombucha or whatever you want, do it in a place where you can be together. I think it's the frivolous spending because you're on a phone and all of a sudden you feel you're tricked into something or you just, well, I'm here, I'll just click. That's different to me.
So, and not to dominate this conversation because I would like to broaden it out to our other folks here, but we talk about the No Spend Challenge. We talk about how you go about it logistically. But there's another part of this piece that talks about how people end up connecting in ways once they enter this like no spend world. And that's through things like Buy Nothing Facebook groups or other like groups that are, you know, no spend, Tiny Humans giveaway groups. And there's third places that are free. Like there's a lot of like free library events.
Yeah,
there's other ways that you
point.
Can connect to your community. And there's other ways that people, there's other reasons people enter the no spend universe, not just to like save money, but some of it is about sustainability. You have people who are like passing things back and forth that they don't need anymore.
Yeah.
And the ultimate, like, obviously you're not, it's not transactional in the way where you're like spending money, but it is, you're still sharing in like a, in a different kind of way.
So it's consume less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want to give up my coffees with Kat. I really don't. I'm like, I'm not just saying this because you're here. Every time I get a coffee and a cookie over there, it puts a little hop in my step. I'm always like, it makes my day better. And everyone there is so kind. And it's one of the best ways just to splurge a little bit.
But you're also supporting a small business.
Yeah, that, which, right. Of course.
And I want Kat to talk about this because it's one of the reasons I brought her on the show today. But we both spend a significant investment in a fitness, like a boutique fitness gym that offers Pilates. And I'm sure we've all seen the SNL skit. It's sort of true.
Yeah.
But also, like, I think we can both vouch for the fact that that sort of investment in a third place to some extent,
yeah,
where we like choose to, like, we're investing back in ourselves too. So there's a little bit of that along the way. I'm going to let you talk about this because your journey has been amazing with that.
Pilates. Yeah. So I'm nuts for it. I'm going to try really hard not to sound culty about it. But I actually, I came across Pilates when I first, when I graduated from college and I was kind of like floating. I couldn't find a job, didn't know what to do. So YouTube, I just looked up Pilates tutorials or videos and I just did a few and I fell in love with it. And then over the years, fell off of it, started a business and really fell off of my fitness and wellness. So actually a friend of mine brought me into the Reformery and I knew it was going to be hard. The first 2 weeks you hate it because you're like, why am I so weak? Like, why can't I do and
it's really, really frustrating.
It really puts you like, okay, I need to get my act together. But then like once you start consistently doing it, you feel yourself getting stronger every time. And like I love Pilates because you have to listen to the cues. So you have to clear your mind. Mm-hmm. You can't be thinking about work while mm-hmm. you're trying to like follow this instructor counting down to the next move. And she's telling you, yeah, you're going to move from the front of this to the back of that. You're going to face this way and do this. So it's really nice for my mental health too, to take 50 minutes out of my day to just do this. I am exercising.
Yeah.
I have like ab muscles now. But like also mental health, I get to check out for 50 minutes and just like not think about things that are stressing me
100%.
Out daily.
But you need to have patience when you start.
Yes.
Not be the kind of person who needs like immediate gratification.
It's
going to
be so hard.
This country's very good at that. We're very patient.
But I swear, like, give it some time. Do it like once a week for the first month if you're
that's
like
what I did.
Not if you're not active.
Well, how often are you doing it now?
5 to 7 days a week.
There's only 7 days in a week.
I know.
You're doing all of them.
Okay. I really enjoy it.
I'm not
nice.
At that
it's,
level.
It's no. It's gentle enough that you're not limping the next day.
Do you need
time.
An intervention? Are you addicted?
No. Maybe.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the feeling, though. It makes me feel really good.
No, that's great. You found something that's like perfect.
And it like. You feel more in control of your body too, like with the snow outside and the ice. You're bound to lose your footing. And it a lot of inner thigh exercises, and it really helps just day to day being a human and like being in control of your own body a little bit.
But I've
more.
Also found that like my breathing is different.
Yes.
And I think breathing is so important for stress.
Yep.
And like I'm looking at all the people who work in the newsroom here. I have found myself, especially over the last couple of weeks, like I'm using those breathing techniques and I'm like, oh, this is good. This is like teaching me how to be nicer to my body,
it's
which
so
is
good.
Really important for all of us right now.
Yeah.
Well, I've really enjoyed the conversation here. And V, thank you for popping in here. And there's really practical tips too. I mean, ultimately, you're not going to read a no money month and think, well, I have to spend money, so there's no point. The idea is to really analyze what you are spending on. Eliminate what feels truly unnecessary and be changed by that.
Yeah, hopefully learn a little bit more about yourself and maybe about like where you spend your money. I think that point is so important too. I think a lot of people will enter a challenge like this and realize they're giving money to places that they don't necessarily want to, and maybe want to refocus that energy towards like women and minority owned businesses, local businesses, or like, you know, that sort of more sharing economy that we talked about. So that was interesting to learn.
It's great stuff. Well, thank you, City Team, for being here. Leah, you want to bring it home? What's the close for listeners here? You're going to pick this up and feel maybe a little bit of a different way about wellness, maybe a different connotation to the idea.
I think there's a lot of takeaways from this issue. I think there are, like, kind of whatever you're into or whatever you're focused on right now, and I think we're all at different places with that, but there's something that we hope you try, or even if it's goat milk yogurt. But, you know, there's other pieces in here about DIY communities, and I believe that's what he was referring to, one of the businesses on Mount Hope Boulevard, otherwise known as Mount Hope Avenue. So, yeah, you know, that's part of, again, going back to my editor's letter where I wrote about the loneliness pandemic. Get out there and do something. Don't isolate yourself, even when it's cold.
Yeah. No, it is very important. Thank you very much. Great stuff, everybody. Kat, great to see you here, of course.
Thanks for having me
again. We'll see you at Happy Gut Sanctuary right here in High Falls. So happy they're there. And Berto, great. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate having you. V?
E.
Great having you, V. Leah Stacey, the editor of City. Great having you, Leah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to the whole team at City. They do such great work.
They do.
The issue is out now, and you can check it out. From all of us at Connections, thank you for listening or for watching or for both listening and watching if you're doing that on YouTube. And we're back with you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Media.